everybody.
This is episode 372 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and while I think that hello started off okay and then kind of turned racist in the end in like some weird almost Indian accent or something, I was really trying to draw inspiration from Seinfeld when they were doing the voice of, I don't know if they were doing the voice of someone's vagina. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they're like, hello, boo, boo, boo. Can't remember the exact context of that, other than, hello, how many times are we going to say hello? And looking at the sound of this, like, the hello is just spiking like crazy. But you may have noticed that the intro was a little bit different, and that is in part because, once again, I am thinking about switching things up with the podcast just a little bit in more of a less structured way. And just because I've always struggled with what I want to make of this particular podcast, because I do a strictly video gaming podcast and I've never wanted to make this strictly about any specific topic. But then I've gone on runs where I am doing episode-specific topics and stuff, or focusing on a topic per episode. And while that's all right, I think it can at times just push people away in that they might, or, you know, it could be good for people because they see that they don't want to pay attention to a topic, but then, you know, they might, you know, if they're still subscribed, they'll keep listening for the next episode, etc. But in reality, for me, what I want out of this show, because it's what feels the most comfortable, and I think it is the most enjoyable to listen to because it's when I'm being most myself, it's just sort of a rambling, I don't want to say a mess, but just to have it a bit more free-flowing and still talking about this and that, but yeah, just sort of letting my mind go and do as it pleases while recording these episodes. Because this isn't the Pixelated Sausage anime podcast, or the video game podcast, or the movie podcast. It's just the Pixelated Sausage podcast. So it's basically just the me podcast. Because I am really the heart and soul of Pixelated Sausage. I pay the bills. Mm-hmm. So I can do what I want. I do what I want. Isn't that King of the Hill? So today, what am I going to talk about? Well, I do have some anime and some games and jazz, but I was looking on Reddit because I think one of the things I want to try and do is find some good subreddits that give me interesting topics that I can go off on and potentially bring about for the listener, for you, that you may not know of, and, you know, we can share and maybe have discussions on something that you don't hear everywhere else. Somewhat inspired by what I think is probably the best podcast out there, Important If True. But I haven't prepared enough for that, so I'm still looking at the best subreddits to check out, because right now I'm not really subscribed to anything that interesting other than a lot of cool art subreddits, which I'm not going to describe pictures. Yeah, this will be the podcast where I just describe pictures in awful detail. But I wanted to bring this one up because I was checking out the You Should Know subreddit, which is just basically sort of trying to give you basic information that you should know if you don't already know. And one of the first ones at the very top today, which I haven't gone through the comments, but it's just the dumbest thing that I like. If this is what the You Should Know subreddit is about, then I just don't see the point of it really existing, because it's not the You Should Know subreddit, at least this specific one. This is the Are You an Idiot? How Do You Not Know This subreddit? Because this one is You Should Know About Dollar Movie Theaters. And the description, the details are, they are theaters that have really cheap tickets, period. The reason why is because movies premiere here a few weeks later than other movie theaters, period. Here is a link of a list of dollar movie theaters in the United States, period. And then there's a link. I don't know why I felt the need to say the period out loud, but I read this and I'm just like, yeah, that's not, I thought it was going to actually tell me something about the way they're run or that they have some secret deal or something that wasn't already obvious or, as far as I know, already known by everyone. The reason why they're cheaper and all that is because they don't get movies on opening week. They get them later. That's always, I've always felt that was like super obvious or already known, but you know, you should know that if you don't already know it. But yeah, so I'm going to be checking out things like this because it's amusing. There are some good things, but I'm going to jump into some anime now because I have continued my catching up with spring anime shows. And today I want to talk about two that I have watched the first three episodes of, and I've checked out the dubs for both as well. The first one is maybe the longest title of any series I've ever watched, and it is the butt of some jokes this season, and it's really awful, and people are still, I guess, not yet decided on what to shorten the title to, at least in English. But the title in English is World End, What Do You Do at the End of the World? Are you busy? Will you save us? And Romanji is Shumasu nani shite masu ka? Isogashi desu ka? Sukute morate i desu ka? But the popular shortening is Suka Suka, and then I think the most popular English one is just World End. And this is a series about this man who sort of just seems to go at life in a very carefree way, doesn't want to stand out too much, just wants to live his life peacefully, quietly, and he runs into this young girl, I think she's 15 years old, and he saves her when she falls off trying to get this little like pendant back from a cat who stole it from her, and you know, they have their little meet cute, and they go their separate ways. He ends up getting this job as a, I don't know if it was as a guard or whatever of like the not captain, but sort of the overwatch, the runner of security guard, security captain, security something, the boss of security. I can't think of the right term that I want. Not manager. Not, I don't know what it is, but head of security for this warehouse, quote unquote warehouse, that is holding some very strong weapons. And he takes the job reluctantly because they want someone like him, I think is what his goblin friend does. And the world that he lives on is full of all these different types of creatures, furry and scaly and all that, and they're not really happy to see non-creatures there, because the girl he runs into is another humanoid person. And they're like, no, what is she doing? She's not a furry or whatever like us. And when he takes his job, this fella who goes by the name of, because they have names, Willem, sadly not Defoe, and in the dub, not voiced by Defoe, which is even sadder. He takes a job, he goes to this place, and what he finds is that it's not a warehouse. It is just like this giant mansion, a beautiful home, and there aren't any weapons there, but there are a lot of children, a lot of young girls. And you find out that the weapons are, in fact, all these little girls. And I won't go into any more details because I don't want to spoil any of the future episodes. But what surprised me most about this series is that, I will say, what it does incredibly well and is the reason why I think it deserves the most accolades and is just blowing my mind is that given the fact that it is filled with so many children, I mean, there are probably close to 24 children in this series. They're focusing on a handful, but all the children, every single one of them, they're not annoying. It's amazing. Both their voices and their way of acting and everything, they feel real, but there is a bit of a disconnect because they are these weapons and there's something a bit off about them, but they're not annoying. They act like children and they vary in temperament. You know, some are shy, some are a bit rascally and whatnot, but none of them are annoying. I've only watched 3 episodes, but I have been so surprised by how not annoying they are. It's amazing. And then the thing about the series that has me hooked and keeps me invested is that I'm curious about this world that is under, I don't know if they're under attack, direct attack, but there is this looming evil in the form of, I think maybe 7 creatures or some sort of monsters. And these girls are the only means of defending them, the entire world from these creatures. And what is so interesting, other than this overarching story, is just the way it handles it and the seriousness of it all, and that there is this underlying, and I don't want to say creepiness, but just it's dark. It is darker than I was expecting, and it has a few moments that are really just kind of gut-wrenching. In the second episode in particular, there is a moment where something happens to one of the children, and this is going to be spoilers for 30 seconds. So they're playing like this kind of dodgeball or whatever, and this one girl goes after the ball. She goes after it and runs right off the cliff, and Willem goes running after her to help her, heal her and all that jazz. Not heal her, just help her. And when she gets up, she's bleeding severely, and she just has like this smile on her face. She's not crying. She's not deterred by it at all. It doesn't seem to have affected her at all. She's just sort of like, oh, I made a boo-boo. I don't even think she makes note of the fact that she actually hurt herself. She's just like, oh, you know, still got to go get the ball. She's still concerned about getting the ball. When he's like, we got to get you help, she's like, the ball's over there. And she's starting to go. And he's like, what are you doing? And it shows you how these young girls, while they look like children, aren't really children because they've grown up in this environment and knowing that they are weapons and that their lives aren't that important. And there's more information that is revealed as to their mindsets and what happens to increase their power, what they need to think and stuff. And it's just, there's this underlying darkness to it all while having silly moments as well. And I really like that about it. It does get a little weird with the whole Willem and the 15-year-old girl who sort of wants to live and experience life because she's not sure how much longer she might have, because these weapons are somewhat disposable. The girl being Chitoli. And there are just a few weird-ish moments, but I don't get the feeling from Willem that he feels anything for her. He wants her to not be so upset, like, because they've never experienced an adult male before. So for all of them, the young teenage girls and then the very little children, this is all new to them. He doesn't want them to just sort of, and her in particular, be like so focused on him just because she feels like this is the only man she'll ever know. though she, I mean, she has experienced some in the military and whatnot, but yeah, I'm really liking it, and it's been one of the more pleasant surprises, other than, you know, just having an awful title, which is just sort of, it's the popular thing to do with light novels, because it's based on a light novel, and light novels just like to have horribly long, ridiculous titles, because whatever, it seems like the longer the title, the better it'll sell, or I don't know. And then the other series I just started watching today is Sei Kasuro Kado, otherwise known as Kado, The Right Answer. And just going back quickly to Suka, the dub is solid. I think the performances are pretty good, but I think the script is a bit lacking, and there are times when it just feels off. It doesn't feel natural at all, but the performances from the actual voice actors is pretty good across the board, so that's good. And even with the kids, which was, that was my biggest concern. I'm like, oh, how are they going to do these children? They were pretty okay. Not amazing or anything. I don't know if I listened to one with a lot of kids in it, though. Just maybe the handful, but a solid dub. But, you know, nothing amazing. Okay, returning to Kado. So, I watched the first three episodes, plus I watched before that the ONA episode zero, which sort of just, it happens directly before, immediately before the first episode. And it's an okay episode. It gives you a bit of, it's basically giving you a little insight, some backstory, not really much backstory, but gives you a bit of the character of Shindu. Yes, Shindu. So that you know what kind of person he is, his reputation, and all that for what will be coming in the actual series. And the series itself is a sci-fi mystery, I guess you'd say. So this giant cube that is, I think, 8,000 by 8,000 meters just appears out of nowhere, out of the sky, and takes place at this airport and engulfs this airplane that had 250 so passengers, including Shindu. And he, because he is a government official who is like one of the best negotiators I have, he ends up negotiating between the I don't know what you'd call him, the captain of this giant cube, but he's this being from somewhere else who looks human but is not human. You call him an alien, I guess. Some of the people do, some don't want to call him an alien. And he has come to to planet Earth in order to give a bit of his technology, because he goes on during one of the episodes about how if you were to have a lot of food and you've eaten some of it and you have a full stomach and then you come across someone starving, what would you do with that extra food? And you say, like, you'd give it to the person who's starving. And he's like, well, that's sort of where I am, and then I have this technology and I don't need all of it, so I want to provide it to people who need it. And so there's a lot of mystery still in the air because I've only watched three episodes, and it's a slow-paced series, so there's not a lot of excitement. There's not a lot of drama. I'm happy that it's not a melodramatic series. Right now, there isn't any clear inclination of who is good and who is bad, if there ever will be, or if anyone is actually bad. You know, there's a lot of mystery in addition to just the mystery of the giant cube and this alien who is Yaha Kuiza, whatever. I'm going to call him Yaha. But it's interesting. And the way the third episode ended was basically, you know, I'll give you this if you give me the right answer. So that's, of course, the title. Like, I figured that was going to be the case, given the title, that he wasn't just going to give them this great, powerful, it's like an energy source that gives off an incredible amount of energy, despite being a very small object, like these little balls. And little balls, they give off lots of energy. Everyone knows that. But I'm really, really liking it. It's been another pleasant surprise. Oh, the one thing I'll say against it is that the art is fine. It has quite a bit of CG in it. I'm not a fan of the CG. I just don't like CG in general. But compared to all of the CG series I've seen, it is one of the best and does a really good job of transitioning between hand-drawn and then the CG art. Though when it gets CG and really kind of goes crazy with the animation bits, it can be a bit much for me. But it's never too bothersome that I want to stop watching. And the CG quality is good. It's just I don't like CG in general, regardless of quality. At least when it's in the typical anime style. But the story, I really, really like. I enjoy the slow pace of it all, the deliberate nature of it, and I like that the story is a bit thought-provoking and intellectual and adult in ways, and I'm just happy to have something that is not so over the top in really any way. And the dub is actually really good. I think the dub brings about a bit more personality to the characters than what I heard in the subtitled original Japanese version, which I don't want to say that's surprising, but it feels like there's a bit more energy to it. And maybe, you know, they don't want that. The original authors and all that don't want that, but I appreciate that. The script is a bit more casual as well, which isn't a bad thing. It's not too casual, but it does make it feel a little... It just makes it feel a little bit more inviting. And I definitely say, if you watch it and you're maybe on the fence, try out the dub, because the dub might be a little bit easier to consume for some people. But I really like it. And what it reminds me of most of all is Arrival, which I really, really loved. Because in Arrival, you had these scientists going to these various ships across the globe, and they were trying to learn how to communicate with these alien life forms and figure out what they wanted. And eventually they found out what they wanted at the very end. And in this, Kato, they don't take too long in order in getting a way of communicating with this alien. It happens very quickly. But it's going to be more so about figuring out what exactly he wants from them in order to give them this thing. So there are similarities, but it's a bit, you know, further along than in Arrival, which was much more about the initial interactions. And this is, while about that as well, more so about figuring out what the alien wants as opposed to how to communicate with it. So, yeah, if you like that movie, I definitely recommend checking out Kato. It's a very, very pleasant surprise. So, in addition to anime, playing some games. For the most part, nothing I haven't talked about before, but I do want to talk a bit about Brawl Out, which is an early access title on Steam. And I really want to like it, but it has some issues, and the issues are it's incredibly shallow. It's definitely an early ass game, which is the wrong way. It's supposed to be early. It's an early access game, but the game itself is basically Super Smash Brothers, in that you have your fighters. You're on these 2D planes with various levels, and you don't have life bars. You have percentages, and as the percentages go up, you're more easily able to be knocked off the platforms, and that's the way you die. You have a certain number of lives. And yeah, it's just Super Smash Brothers on non-Nintendo platforms. I'm not sure if it's going to be making its way to any consoles, but I played it on Steam, got a code for it. And it's just really, really shallow at this point. Finding a match isn't that easy, but you can't play against AI. The single player is not yet implemented. And the combat just is very, very shallow. And every character feels pretty much the same, other than a flying character will be able to fly for a little bit while jumping, as opposed to the other combatants. But you don't really have much. You have a special attack, you have a regular attack, and then you could jump or fly. And that's really it. I didn't see anywhere in there about changing or like various combos or stuff like that. It's very colorful, I'll at least say that. I really love the way it looks. Plays really well in that it runs smoothly. It's a very colorful colorful art style. I really love the way it looks, and there's potential in it because there's like a solid foundation there that just needs to be expanded upon in terms of adding more to the actual combat. And I don't know. I feel like that's the biggest thing that is holding it back, is that the characters don't feel unique. They look unique. They have these somewhat long descriptions that give you background and maybe some personality to these characters. But in the end, when you're actually playing the game, none of them feel that different. And that's a problem, because then who cares what you pick? And then it just sort of gets really repetitive and doesn't feel that great. But there's plenty of potential for it, because it is an early access game. I'm not sure what version they're at and how far along they are, and like when they plan to finish the game or officially launch it out of early access. But it's okay. But at the same time, it's currently $20, and I don't think it's worth $20 in its current state, unless you're dying for anything that is remotely like Super Smash Brothers and you don't have a Nintendo console for whatever reason, or you just don't, or you don't want to play Super Smash. I don't know. It's just okay. It's okay, but it needs some work. It needs some work to get an identity of its own. Because while the initial impressions that the bright, colorful visuals offer, it's not enough to keep my attention, at least, and I don't think it'll be enough to keep most people's attention. Even though the reviews on Steam are mostly positive, I think it's a very empty experience, and something that if you purchased it, like if I paid for this, I would have asked for a refund, because I would have gotten all I need to get out of it in an hour or less. And I played it for a few hours and I was like, yep, I'm done with this. I don't need to play this anymore. But at least not now in its current state. But yeah, this game's Brawl Out. It's on Steam, Windows only. Don't know if they'll be doing anything else, but check it out if you want. It does have local multiplayer as well, which is nice, and it does support controllers. It has full controller support, which is also nice. But I think one of the things that annoyed me about the controller support, and this annoys me about any game, is that I believe menu navigation could only be done with the analog stick and not the D-pad, playing on an Xbox One controller. And I always hate that, because for me, there is not often a lot of use for a D-pad in games or whatever, especially the D-pad on most controllers. But what it's great for is navigating the menu, because then I can just press a button and it just does it. But, you know, some games don't want to let you do that. That said, at least it's not a digital cursor, which is something I experienced when playing this game Paranautical Activity or whatever on my Xbox One, and it had a digital cursor for menu navigation, and it was awful. The game itself is a fine roguelike first-person shooter thing, somewhat reminiscent of like Ziggurat, but that menu navigation was pretty awful. Anyway, that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Got your fix of anime, your little dash, your sprinkle on the top of video games, and your appetizer of stuff you should know from Reddit and other garbage. Anyway, I'm your host, once again, Mark Cugines. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, all the usual places, at PX Sausage on PSN. I'm the Kush 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, all of which you should check out and rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. And some favorite podcasts of ours that are sort of in our extended family include the Sports Car Unleashed podcast, which is co-hosted by Rich from Pixelated Radio. The O Indeed podcast, hosted by Steven. I was going to say his actual name, and then I'm like, no, he's Big Steven. I'm not going to give out his actual name. Though he's Steven from a town in Italy. Uh-huh. He does the O Indeed podcast with someone else. I don't know. You should check that out. And then nothing to do with the site at all, but I just enjoy their show and the casual nature of it all. The Crazy Sunshine podcast, which is where you can get your anime fix. So they talk about plenty of other stuff too. So I'm still not convinced that Steve is not a secret wrestling guru manager. And Jace is always talking about the reefer. Not really, but I mean, he does work in what? A dispensary? I don't know. But yeah, if you want to hear some weird things about the people, the clientele at times, check that show out. But also the anime, lots of anime. Good show. I enjoy it. As you can tell, I'm really good at pimping shows. They never talk about pimps on there. Not yet, at least. But who knows? They may have pimps who buy weed from there. I'm sure pimps enjoy weed, so it would only make sense. Pimp, reefer pimp. Oh, imagine reefer pimps. Oh, that'd be, I don't know what that would be. I don't know where I'm going with this, but check out the Crazy Sunshine podcast, because it's good stuff. Though I will say this, I get annoyed every time they end the show with their slack off section, just because of the way they intro. Because they're like, oh, I think we're tired of all this anime. I don't have any more. I feel like it's time to do something. What do you think we should do? I think it's time we slack off. I'm like, God, I just feel like at times it's so over exaggerated. And I'm like, okay, I get what you're doing. Just get to it already. But I still love you guys. I love you guys for real. Anywho, any boo, any woo, weeaboo, hoo hoo, toot toot. Also, if anyone's still listening, if you like the art I do, which you can also find on the site, you can check it out all over at pxsart.com. Yeah. you can do that. And there are links to where you can buy prints and all that jazz right over there. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, like the podcast and the art and, you know, this garbage that just came out of my mouth, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in a buck or two every month to show your support, which would be greatly appreciated. Anyway, that will really do it. So I hope everyone's weekend was absolutely lovely and that your week is off to a great start and only gets greater as time passes.